Praise the Lord. Well, if you don't know, I am Pastor Josh from Janesville. It's still kind of funny hearing myself say that sometimes, even though it's been over a year now that I was officially installed, I guess you could say. So that's awesome. But I got this off Brother Littles, and I try to say this at almost every message, but I'm Pastor Josh, and I'm a worshiper. Amen? Because to worship God is probably one of the best things that you could pretty much do. And that's what we try to do at Rock Ministries every single week. Every single Sunday. So anyway, if you don't mind, first off, I just want to say thank you to my pastor, Peter. Thank you to Pastor Roy. I don't know if you're here tonight, but I wouldn't be in this position without them. And I also wouldn't be in this place in this position without a lot of you also. And I just want to say thank you for that. If you don't mind, stand with me as we're going to go to the Word. And if you don't mind, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. I thought I'd keep things real basic tonight. It's going to be a little bit of the Word, a little bit of Janesville, and hopefully God's got a word for everyone here tonight. But Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Dear Jesus, I just come to you tonight, Lord. I just pray, Jesus, that you just have your way in this service tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you just rest on the shoulders of everyone here, Lord Jesus. I pray that your spirit just flows through this place, Lord God, like a wildfire, Lord. I pray, God, that you just speak through me, Lord Jesus, as much as possible, Lord. I just thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity, Lord, and I just pray that you just bless this service, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So like I said, I wanted to thank everybody. You know, Rock Ministries in Janesville is a daughter work of this church. Right, we're not out there by ourselves. We didn't just appear right out of nowhere. It's the fruit of the seed that was planted right here in Madison, and that's an amazing feeling, not only for me but hopefully for you as well, to be part of that. And we're also a part of prayers that were prayed in this church and around Madison, and we are the sacrifice that started here in this building. And we're just a little work in Janesville, but we're connected to something much larger than just us, right? We're connected to you, and we're connected to God Almighty. Amen? And I know tonight I'm standing here in front of a very blended congregation, right? We got some people here that have been walking with God longer than I've been alive. And some of you know the word backwards and forwards, and some of you can quote more Bible verses than I would know how to even look up in the table of contents sometimes. And some of you might be new, right? A little bit, maybe a couple weeks in. And you might still be figuring out what church is really all about. You know, you might still be learning how to pray and how to worship and how to hear the actual voice of God. And I believe that the Lord is going to speak to every single one of us tonight. Amen? Because whether you've been in church for 40 years or 4 days, you know, all of us have to be able to answer the same question at some point. Who told you? So who told you that you couldn't be used by God? Now, who told you that your past was too messy? Who told you that your family history gets the final word? Now, who told you that one failure disqualifies you? And who told you that Jesus could save everybody else, but not you? Now, who told you that you could sit in the pew, but never step into your purpose? Somewhere along the way, a voice spoke over you. You know, maybe it was a person, and maybe it was an experience. Maybe it was a trauma. I mean, maybe it was your own thoughts that were talking to you in the dark. But sometimes, somewhere, a voice that might have just said, "This is who you are. This is all you're ever going to be. And this is as far as you can go." But tonight, I'm going to tell you that the Holy Ghost is going to be asking you the same thing that God asked Adam. Who told you that? Before I go any further with the preaching, if you don't mind to pull up some of these pictures we got. There's some awesome events that we had in Janesville. We have a back-to-school bash every year. We've been doing this. Will be our third year doing it, where we get the bounce house that we get from here, and the kids just love it. The kids that are coming, they pretty much all walk. Like, there's not all the families there live in the neighborhood that come. There's not like many people that show up in cars and vehicles. There's a few, but a lot of times they're neighborhood kids. They just come on, just keep on going. They always have a blast. I think there was probably three kids that got hurt that day. We try to get everyone involved. There's the fun little parachute thing that throwing launching the balls up, and then Dean on the left there, right? Left, yeah, Dean. He's been coming there since we started in the very first building. He's amazing. He's got the best dad jokes ever. I mean, it's just awesome. And then Steve, his buddy, drives him around. Dean is blind. And we pick him up for church every Sunday. Pick him up for Bible we pick him up for Bible study every Tuesday, and he's just a blessing. He's awesome. If you want to just keep going, that was on Easter. We had two Easter bunnies at Easter. It was pretty awesome. If you want to keep going, that was when we did our skit also on Easter. Brother Caskey was an amazing Peter, probably better than the actual Peter. You want to keep going? That was actually a Bible study. So in the, that was not a Bible study. That was when we, there's a pregnancy hotline in Janesville, and we've sponsored like just a little event where we ask everybody around the community to come and donate. They bring in like diapers and clothes and a little bit of everything. The first year we had a turnout of like 36 people. And I was talking like there was like $2,000 or $3,000 worth of goods that were donated to the pregnancy hotline. And the lady from the pregnancy hotline just like bawled. Like she couldn't believe that this was happening. And that was the year of election. So we had some like local congressmen or whatever, the aldermans come through, and they're all like petitioning for votes. I mean, that might have had something to do with it, because everyone was there, and it was kind of cool. But if you want to keep going on that. This is a normal Sunday, what you're seeing right here. Yes, we did have an event here, but every single Sunday we fellowship after church. And I can tell you what, that means more to, I think, the community than anything that we could possibly do in church. I mean, I know, you know, praise and worship and all that stuff, but actually trying to build a family of God is got to have some fellowship and a little bit of food, right? So every year we do a soup for the soul in March, and we do a chili cook-off in February. And I believe this was it looks like a soup in the bowls there. And we had a huge turnout. Last year we had like 80 people on Soup for the Soul. Like it was just amazing. So we're going to keep doing that every year. It's a big hit. There's like eight or 10 potlucks at the minimum. I think the last year when we had like 18 of them. We didn't have enough plugins for all the soup that was there. So it was pretty awesome. Same event. Awesome time. That was back at the pregnancy hotline event as well. And those girls are always, whether their parents show or not, those girls usually show up almost every Sunday. And they live just down the street, and they come. They bring some other kids with them. And it's just kind of, depends on the Sunday, but we could have 20 kids downstairs that Sister Caskey's trying to keep all together and kind of keep them all wrangled in. This is one Sister Vicky, we had, I want to say it was like eight filled with the Holy Ghost that day. And it was just amazing. Had an awesome altar call. It was a blessing every time she comes. So the girls that you've seen in the other photo, this is their brother. And Jaden, he's been up here with the youth a couple times and a couple of youth events. And that was an amazing time when he got baptized in Jesus' name. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was just an awesome time. That's the baptismal that we ordered in. It's actually portable. And then we built some stairs up around it. There wasn't one when we got there, so we put that together too. But it's just an awesome time. There's one of the girls you seen earlier, and her mom, and my wife, and right after baptism. Oh, there's Jaden again. Awesome family. All right, so this is Teresa, and I want to stop on Teresa for just a minute because there's a few things, and if I could talk about every single person in every picture, I would, but we'd be here for another hour, and I don't think you guys want to do that. But I wish I could because every single face there has a story, right? Like it's every child that was jumping in the bounce house, and every person that's sitting around those tables, every family that's standing around the baptistry. And they all have a story. And I want you just to understand something, that they're not just pictures to me. They're not content for Facebook. This is not a church growth report, is what I'm trying to say. That these are all people that God is reaching. Amen. These are families that are learning how to pray. These are kids that are learning that church is a safe place. It's a little bit of a rough neighborhood, to be honest. And they need that place. And these are people that are sitting around tables that they may not have known that they're going to be part of a church family at some point in their life, and now they all are. And these are all the people that come down to the altar and get baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost and opening the Bible for the first time, asking questions and finding out that there's more to life than what they've been taught their entire life. And that's all with what Jesus can do for them. And I stand here tonight as a proud pastor, not going to lie. Like, not proud like I did something, but proud like a dad watching his kids run or walk or ride their bike for the first time. Proud like somebody who knows that I'm getting to witness the work of God in real time. Rock Ministries is not a perfect church, right? And I'm definitely not a perfect pastor. We're learning and we're growing. And sometimes we get things wrong. And I say that because we got Teresa up here, not because she was wrong, but we put out a prayer walk one night on a Thursday, and it was supposed to be on the following week. We had it on Facebook for literally 2 hours. And I had called Sister Debbie at the time, who was running the socials. I'm like, "Sister, you got to take this down. It's not that night." And she did. And she said, "Hey, there was like a couple likes on it, so somebody like already seen it." And I was like, "Oh, man, okay." So I'm like, "All right, I'm going to go to church anyway. I'm going to show up. I can get some stuff done anyway." And I pull up and I get out of the car, and there's two people that are in their car waiting for somebody to show up at the church. And it's Teresa and her son. If you want to go to the next picture. Her son, Dylan, right next there. He's now one of our door greeters. He's been just doing amazing. God's working in him too. But I get out, I walk up to them, I introduce myself, shake their hand, and I had no idea at that moment that I was welcoming them into the family permanently on a 2-hour Facebook post that was up and it was down. Like, it was super quick. And I explained to them that, we weren't actually having the full prayer walk that night. It was planned by, it was on the wrong date. And but since you're here and I'm here, let's walk and pray. Like, let's just do it anyway. And Sister Teresa, she's got, if you see the cane right there, on the baptistry there, she had a stroke a couple years ago, almost 2 years ago now. So she wasn't walking fast, but she still walked, and we prayed. And it was just an awesome time. I was talking to them a little bit more. I had a good, one-on-one conversations with both of them, and it's been awesome. I've watched God work in Teresa's life. It's really just kind of touched me. I've watched her grow in the Spirit. I watched her just get through some things that she never thought she could get through because of what God has been working on her heart for. I watched her get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I baptized her in Jesus' name. And I tell you what, the first time that I baptized Teresa, and yeah, I said that right, the first time that I baptized Teresa was right there. You can see it. And if you see that hand right there, that's her strong hand. She didn't let go. She didn't let go. I didn't notice until I was pulling her up that she didn't let go. And, I'm still learning, right? I'm still learning a few things, and I could have done it better, right? And that will never happen again. But I know enough of the Bible to know that baptism is not partial immersion. Amen? And it's not just most of you in Jesus' name. It's all of you in Jesus' name, right? It's not everything except the arm that won't go under, right? So the Bible says that we're buried with him in baptism. So I did what I think any pastor should do. I baptized her again. And it was awesome. She's like, "What? We gotta do it again?" I'm like, "Yes, we do." And I didn't want her walking around at any point in time wondering if it counted, right? There's nothing worse than hearing the devil come at you 3 years later saying, "What about that arm?" Right? That's really what it comes down to. What about that arm? Because if you don't go exactly how the Word of God says, then why would you even try? Just use the whole Word of God. Don't just take part of it. Amen? And you know what's kind of crazy is after we got done and after we praised the Lord, and you can go to the next picture too if you want. But after we were done, she was like, "Why did we do it twice?" And I explained it to her, and she's like, "That's really weird because the first time I didn't feel anything." She says, "I kept thinking my son was going to keep me under because he was standing right there." I thought she was joking, but I think even more that I think back on it, she was serious for a second. But she said the second time when she came up out of the water, she felt like everything was gone. Amen. It was just an amazing moment for her and for everyone that was around there. It was just awesome. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what God is doing in Janesville. Amen. And here's what I want you to see tonight is that Teresa, she didn't, you know, walk into a perfect situation. She walked into a mistake on the calendar, right? That's what it was. She walked into a night where we had no polished plan. It wasn't like all set out and laid out. She walked into a prayer walk that technically wasn't supposed to happen that night. And I want you to think about that because God doesn't need perfect situations to make perfect work. Amen? So we go back to Genesis 3. It's one of the most painful, I think, chapters in the Bible because everything changes in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They had access to God. They had access to peace. They had purpose. They had no shame. They had no hiding, no fear, no worries. If you can just imagine what that would feel like. Nobody judging you. Just in like perfect harmony. Just that feeling would just be amazing. Like I couldn't even, other than just kind of imagining it before something else crashes into your mind. Like that's just an amazing feeling. And that all just went to an end because another voice entered the conversation. In Genesis 3:1, just before we read, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" So if you notice how the enemy starts, he doesn't start by taking the fruit out of the tree and giving it to her. He starts by attacking what God says, right? Did God actually say? Not sure. I don't know. That's how the enemy works. It starts with a voice. He starts with a question. He starts with getting you to wonder if God really meant what he said. Did God really forgive you? Did God really call you? Did God really fill you? Did God really wash you? Was God really there? Did God really have a future for somebody like you with your background? Did God really say that you're chosen? Did God really say that old things are passed away? If the enemy can get to you with a question and with a voice to get you to question what God says, he can get you to live under a voice that God never sent. Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit, right? Their eyes, they were opened, right? But they don't become more free. They become more afraid. That's what sin does. Every single sin does that. It promises freedom, but all it produces is hiding. Most sins you don't go out and talk about, right? Like, "Hey, guess what I did the other day?" Yeah, we're not doing that. Nope. If I sinned, I'm gonna just keep it with God. I'm gonna apologize. We all sin. But I tell you what, I'm not gonna go out and share it with somebody. I'm gonna bring it to God, and I'm gonna take a new step forward. Amen. The Bible says that they sewed fig leaves together. They tried to cover themselves with something that they made by hand. Then they heard God walking in the garden, and they hid from the presence of the Lord. All of that freedom that they had, and just real, I just think it's so relaxing is how what they probably had. I mean, can you imagine that? The God who made them, the God who loved them, the God that walked with them every single day, now they're hiding from him. Not because God changed, but because shame changed how they seen God. And then God asks Adam, "Where are you?" Church, God wasn't asking because he lost Adam. Right? God doesn't misplace people. God was giving Adam a chance to locate himself. Where are you, Adam? Not geographically. He was asking Adam, where are you at spiritually? Where are you at emotionally? Relationally? Where are you? And Adam says, "I heard you and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And then God asks that question. Who told you that you were naked? When I came across this, I know that I had a message for it, because God didn't say, "Adam, why are you naked?" Adam had always been uncovered before God. He's always been naked. There's not something new here. The difference was not that God suddenly saw him. The difference was that Adam suddenly saw himself through shame. So God goes after the voice. Who told you? Who gave you the vocabulary for shame? Who taught you to hide from me? Who convinced you that your future was stronger than my love? Who told you that one bad decision means that you can no longer answer when I call? And I feel like there's a lot of times that we live in this. God is calling, but shame is interpreting his voice. And we're not letting the actual call get through because we have shame on something. God says, "Where are you?" Shame says, "He's angry. You better just hide." Right? God says, "Come to me." Shame says, "You're not clean enough yet." God says, "I have a purpose for you." Shame says, people like you don't get used. God says, "I can make all things new." Shame says, "Not after what you've done." But who told you that? Because if God did not say it, you do not have to build your life on it. And this is where the message turns for me tonight, because everything that happens to us is not good. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend that every single wound that we all have is God's will. I'm not going to stand up here and tell somebody who's been hurt and abused and abandoned and disappointed, betrayed, and broken that it was all good. Because it's not. No, some things are evil. Some things are painful, and some things should have never happened. But God is so good that he can take what was not good and still make good out of it. God is so good that pain does not have to get the last word. God is so good that a scar can become a testimony. God is so good that a broken background can become the place where his glory shines the clearest. God doesn't look at you and say, "Man, I wish you had a better family history to work with." He doesn't say, like, I wish you had a cleaner past. He doesn't say, I wish you came from better people. He doesn't say, I wish you didn't cry so much or failed so much or didn't do the right thing or doubted so much and struggled so much. God looks at broken people all throughout Scripture. All Scripture. I don't think of one perfect person. And he says, I can work with that. Right? I can work with that. I can work with that. You know, Moses, he had a past. He killed somebody. David had failure. Rahab had a reputation. Peter had a denial. A few of them. Paul had blood on his hands. The woman at the well, everybody in town knew her story. But when Jesus got involved, the story changed. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That verse isn't just for new Christians, folks. Seasoned saints need that verse too, because sometimes we get so used to carrying old labels that even after God gives us a new name, we still answer what used to be. But the old has passed away. He says it right then and there. The new has come. Not the patched up version. Not the slightly improved version. Not the churchified version of the same broken identity. No. It is a new identity. Church, what if the thing that was limiting you is not God's willingness? What if the thing that is limiting you is the voice that you trusted more than His? Can we go to that last picture, please? I want you to look at this picture. As you can see, it's around Christmas time. We got the tree with the lights, and you see Brother Caskey there singing. And this was a Saturday. We were just having music practice. And we left the door unlocked. This was something that I learned that day, to leave the door unlocked, because you never know what's going to walk in. Amen. And this gentleman walked in. You can see him there at the altar. And he walks in and he just kind of like asks if he can sit down. And he walks up and he sits in the second row, and we just continue our music practice. And he starts lifting his hands and praising God. And you could just see that God was just doing a work on him. And it was like one of the the biggest eye-opener for me as a pastor, to just see God just move in such a way with an individual that just completely flips you upside down. It was new to me. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what do we do here? Thank God for the Caskeys. I tell you what, for having people like that in church is just an amazing thing to have, amen? People who have walked with God and they've been around ministry their whole lives, and the people that don't panic when God sends something that's just a little bit unnatural or unnormal, I guess you could say. He sat down and started to raise his hands and started to worship God. We kept singing. And I was kind of like looking at him every couple minutes, just kind of seeing what's going on. And, as I looked back at him, he pointed toward the altar. And I'm like, yeah, do that. And we kind of paused for a second, and he asked for I don't remember what song it was. But he asked Brother Caskey for a song, and I'd never heard the song until he started playing it, and then I heard the song before. I broke away to go and pray with him, and Brother Caskey and Sister Caskey kept on playing. And we praised God for what felt like, an hour. It probably was only like 10 minutes. But it was just like one of those things that you could just see God show up. It was just amazing, because, church, that was not on the schedule, right? That wasn't part of our practice, I can tell you that. That wasn't any plan whatsoever, but God was in it. And what it taught me is you have to be listening for the right voice. Not just to the schedule and not what was just planned, not to what makes sense to you. We have to be listening for God, because there's people that are walking around our churches carrying voices that have been lying to them for years. And sometimes they just need an unlocked door. An unlocked door, a song, an altar, a prayer, and just one church that knows how to make room for what God's doing. And I want to try to make that church in Janesville. So here's the question tonight. What voice are we going to believe? If Janesville is going to be reached, or any other daughter works, if Madison is going to keep sending, keep mothering, keep covering, keep praying, if our families are going to be changed, and if our children are going to know the truth, if our churches are going to be full of the Spirit, then we cannot be people who live by every voice that talks to us. We have to know the voice of God. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus didn't say, my sheep hear every voice and try to sort it out later. He said, my sheep hear my voice. There are voices of shame. There are voices of fear. There are voices of culture. There are voices of family history. There's voices of trauma. And there are voices from people who we did not know. We didn't know that they didn't really love us the way that we thought they did. And there's voices in our own mind that talk to us on a regular basis sometimes, especially when you're tired or when you're lonely or when your wife's out of town. I'm just kidding. My wife's out of town. I miss her. Love you, dear, if you're watching. But there's voices in your own mind that are trying to be discouraging, and they're trying to take you down, and they're trying to just flip you over and say things that don't make any sense because they're not in the Bible. But every one of those voices if you drown those out, you can hear the voice of Jesus. And his voice still calls people out of the hiding. His voice still calls people out of the shame. His voice still calls people out of the grave. His voice still says, follow me. And his voice says, be baptized in my name. His voice still says, receive the Holy Spirit. His voice still says, you are not finished. His voice still says, I can make you new, a new creature. And I believe that that is the part of what God is doing through Rock Ministries. And as a daughter work, we are watching people learn to hear a different voice than what life has been feeding them. Like I mentioned earlier, kids are learning that church is not scary. Families are learning that they do not have to live life alone. New believers are learning the Bible. They're learning how to pray. People are learning to worship. They're learning how to repent. People are learning that there's baptism in Jesus' name, and it's not a ritual. It's a burial. People are learning that the Holy Ghost is not just something we talk about. The Holy Ghost is alive and comes and lives inside of you and is with you every second of every single day. That is family strong. That is our mission for this year, is to strengthen our family. We're not perfect families. We're not polished. We're not families that never struggle. Family strong means that we don't go through this alone. We're all a family. It means that when one person walks in on the wrong night, that we walk and we pray anyway. It means when somebody comes in during practice, we keep singing and we make room at the altar. And it means when somebody comes out of the water, we celebrate just like heaven celebrates. In church, I believe that God wants to do more of that. Not just in Janesville. Also here in Madison. In every single daughter work. And there's going to be more, right? Because every one of you is going to start one. Amen? Wouldn't that be something? In every home represented in this room, we have to stop agreeing with voices that God never sent. Some of you have been carrying a sentence that heaven never spoke. You're not too broken, and you're not too late. You're not too old, you're not too young, you're not too new, you're not too unqualified. And you haven't failed too many times. Your family will never change. Your child will never come back. Your marriage cannot be healed. Your mind will always be tormented. Your calling is over. Who told you that? That's not in the Bible. That's not how you live your life. If Jesus didn't say it, stop bowing to it. If the Word doesn't say it, stop building your identity around it. If the Spirit of God is not speaking, stop letting it pasture your emotions. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That does not mean no conviction. And I'll close on this, that conviction, it brings you to the altar. Condemnation drives you into hiding. Conviction says, come and get clean. Condemnation says, stay away because you're dirty. Conviction says, Jesus has more for you. And condemnation says, this is all you're ever going to be. And tonight, the voice of God is not calling you to hide. He's calling you to come out. If you don't mind, stand with me. Thank you, Jesus. I feel this is just simple, right? God's asking somebody who told you. Who told you that you couldn't be forgiven? Who told you that you couldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost? Who told you that baptism in Jesus' name wasn't for you? Who told you that your pain had no purpose? And who told you that your scar was the only reminder of what hurt you and not something that God could use to help somebody else? Tonight, Jesus is calling you out of hiding. This altar is open. If you need to repent, this altar is for you. If you need God to break a chain, if you need God to break the power of a lie off of your mind, this altar is open. And if you need the Holy Ghost, this altar is open. There's water in the tank. If you need baptism in Jesus' name, tonight is your night. Because it can happen. Acts 2:38 is still true. And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've been fighting that old voice, come back to the voice of Jesus. Adam hid behind the trees, but Jesus hung on a tree so that you did not have to hide anymore. Come down. Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God, for this place, Lord. I just pray, Lord Jesus, just come across everybody tonight, Lord Jesus. Help the chains to just be broken, Lord Jesus. Help your spirit to just be loose, Lord Jesus. I just thank you.